We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Story.
How sweet it is to be loved by you.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas. Online at redrivertoyota.com. We're back with the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
There you were.
Jeff Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian and also hosts the Jeff Calkins Show 9 to 11 right here on these airwaves, 92.9 FM ESPN. On Twitter at Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
Good. What are you doing for your mother for Mother's Day?
A gift. I'm sending it that way, but I'm going to have the future mother-in-law over at the house because we are states away. But I will. A FaceTime is probably in order.
You're sending. What do you mean? You've either sent it or you're not sent. Did you?
Well,
send?
Yes, sent? It is sent. It is in the mail. It is.
You sent something.
It should
to your
be
mother.
Shipping here soon. Yes.
When did you go? Like, have you always been good about Mother's Day?
Yeah. For the most part.
Are your parents still together?
I mean, they're together.
Because the one thing that, like, as a dad, what you do is you make sure that your kids, like, do Mother's Day, right?
Yeah.
Like, and then at some point, it becomes their own responsibility to do Mother's Day, right?
Right.
To remember and to get a card or get a gift or whatever.
But when they're kids, they're very forgetful about it.
When they're kids, you got to make sure your kids.
When did the switch? Probably in my teens? When I finally took it upon myself.
Teens, you think you were still in high school when you were taking on responsibility?
Yes. When I realized when Mother's Day was coming up. Yeah. Responsible kid, right? Responsible.
But the mother-in-law lives here?
Yes. Yes. Very close to the house, actually. Very, very close. Yeah. Most people frown upon those things. But no, you know, the space is still there. There's still space. You know, she's not over there every day. So that's.
Well, good.
That
good.
Works out.
That's good. As long as you're, you know, doing your duty,
yep.
Appropriately taking care of everybody involved.
Now, you professed your love for Arby's earlier in the week. I'm sure you remember that. Did you see the news that came out today? Unusual news. A dead body found inside Arby's restaurant freezer in New Iberia, Louisiana.
I did not hear that. Is that true? Breaking news for me.
There was dead body found inside in New Iberia, and then probably in Louisiana, they pronounce it differently. We know how that goes.
Right.
But in Louisiana, they found a dead body inside the freezer in Arby's. It calls into question a lot of things for me, I have to say.
Do we?
Who are we hiring at Arby's? Who are we hiring at Arby's?
I mean,
and also,
what you're hoping is,
why
is
was it there in the freezer? There's a lot of meat there, a meat product there. I don't need dead bodies near it.
No, that would not. It wouldn't make me more apt to go to that Arby's.
Yeah.
It wouldn't, but I suspect, who knows? Who the hell knows why someone did? Did they die in the freezer, or do you think they died and then someone said, oh.
They're still going through the process.
Somewhere.
They're uncovering an investigation. I think Connor's the one who sent me the story, so I'm curious here. Connor, do you have any details on this?
Here's my theory. We have a Jimmy Conway Goodfellas situation going on.
Okay, gotcha. Understood.
That's the only
explanation. So they were storing it. They were storing the dead body.
They were storing the body in the Arby's freezer. Well, that's probably fine.
You'd do the same? You'd do the same there, Jeff?
But I mean, it's
fine.
It probably did not infect the beef then, right?
I would hope not.
I have to call it into question, don't I? You put things in your freezer, right? The steak and the ice cream. Whatever's in your freezer right now. What's in your freezer right now?
I have my frozen meat on one side and most of my dairy products on the other.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Do you worry that one thing's going to get, you know, the meat and the dairy products are going to get mixed up somehow? No. Everything's right, nicely sealed up or whatever else.
Yeah, but that's why I separate them. That's why I separate them.
You really?
Yeah.
What do you mean your dairy, dairy products?
I have one of those pull-out freezers. I have, like, it's pretty wide, and there's two sides to it, so I sort of separate it that way.
Good.
Yeah.
That won't affect my – it will not affect my choice to or not to go to an Arby's on a given day.
Just not, maybe not going to New Iberia, Louisiana. You probably won't go to that one.
It may affect my ability, my willingness to go to New Iberia. But I'm going to assume that any Arby's I go to is not going to – I think they'll be extra careful now about having dead bodies in the freezer. So, you know, that's like lightning doesn't strike twice.
Are they going to send out a memo to all Arby's,
Arby's
managers and employees?
Reminder, no. Yeah, I think you're much less apt to have a dead body found in an Arby's. This would be the time to go to Arby's, probably more than any other moment. Now, I'll say this. When I last went to Arby's, it was the one on Union.
Mm-hmm.
And I did enjoy the sandwich, but I swear to God, it was one person in front of me in line and then one person behind me, or I would have backed out. It was 20 minutes. I was sitting there like Ooh. 20. I placed, you know, my, and there
stinks.
It got to the point. Have you ever done this where I placed my order and I'm eyeing the size of the curb to decide if in the drive-through lane to decide, and I got an old minivan, so
right.
I'm not dealing with some four-wheel drive vehicle here. Just saying, could I go four-wheeling over this? And I just decided I was trapped. There was someone behind me. There was someone in front of me.
I've had many of those thoughts. My various Popeyes visits in town. This is my strong take on chicken restaurants, fast food chicken restaurants. If Popeyes had decent service, it'd be the best fast food chicken in the game. And I don't think it would be close. But their service is just wherever you go is so bad.
You have to take into account the service as you're judging it against the here's the thing about waiting, is that it's funny, Kelly English put up a post on Facebook this week where he said, and of course, he has the beautiful restaurant Iris over
right.
there. It used to be down in Overton Square area, and now it's in East Memphis. And there's obviously challenges. It's a fabulous restaurant, but there's challenges with getting, you know, everyone is understaffed or whatever else, and it's a much bigger restaurant. He said that someone who was grumpy about how long something was taking put his hands on him.
Whoa.
Because of frustration, right? And he said it wasn't out of violent, but it was anger, impatient. Like it was putting, and I certainly do not condone that. In the end, we're all in this together. And I think what you do is if you get really frustrated by how long something takes, you extend grace to people.
Yes.
You say, you know, what they're, but then honestly, if it just gets to be too much, you just get up and you leave. Like in the end, you say this is not for me, and I think that's totally acceptable.
And I also know that I am one of those who gets, you know, when I'm hungry, impatience can hit me pretty quick. You know,
well that's the thing.
That's,
for me, it's once I'm fine until I notice how long it's taking. Right,
yeah.
And that can sometimes be a long time. It can sometimes be I'm sitting there for a long. But once it clicks in that this is taking a long time. From that moment on, every second more that it takes feels like an hour. Because now all you're thinking about is how long the damn thing is taking. And
now,
this is ridiculous. And the anger, which I would never taking out by putting my arms, my hands on someone, but that starts to rise. And it really is, I don't understand putting your hands on someone over service at a restaurant at all. But I do understand the frustration that underlies it. And in the end, at some point, waiting becomes just, I don't know.
Now,
the thing to do is to get up and leave.
Let me ask you this. You're not, I mean, you are implanted here in Memphis. And for me, when I first moved to Memphis, there was a transition period where I noticed it sort of felt like in the service industry, the sense of urgency, the sense of urgency to get you seated and to bring you your food is just not the same. I have gotten used to it, but did you have that same, and I know we're talking a while back, but did you have that same transition like I did?
It's ridiculous. The service here is often just ridiculous. And it's just ridiculous. And but I don't know what that's a product of. I don't know if it's, I don't know exactly what it's a product of. But honestly, the most frustrating thing is when, and it's not just here, but it's when the service is bad. If you look and the service is bad and you see the people behind the counter are just hustling, you know, they're overwhelmed.
Yes, then it's different, yes.
But when you see them just chatting, like as if you're not there, you're like, what is happening here? Like, you don't even seem to be bothered by the fact that there's 18 people lined up and you're just chatting away. Like, it's
you
crazy.
Walk in and there's like 10 tables and various places to be seated, and there's still a line up front trying to get seated. Yeah, that's a common occurrence. But yeah, no, there was a transition. I'd sort of chalked it up. I think it's just more of a Southern thing. Like the sense of urgency in the service industry is not as high. Maybe
you think it's Southern. You think it's a Southern.
I think it's a Southern thing. Now, I don't think it's just Memphis. If that, you know, I don't think it's just the city of Memphis.
I don't know.
I don't know. But there was that is something that was very noticeable upon my move to Memphis.
The fast food places. It is, and that's why back when we were dealing with vaccination, and they asked the folks at Chick-fil-A to consult. The perpetual miracle is how, in this sea of nonchalance, where people don't seem to care how quickly anything happens, how they manage to move those damn lines so fast.
Chick-fil-A is better because of the service. It is truly, the food tastes better because of the My Pleasures you get as you escape the drive-thru line. I mean, there's no question about it. Now, talking with Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins. NFL schedule release. I hear you think the NFL owns us, but I do want to know about what you think of the Bills schedule. I think 10.5 wins is the over-under.
Yeah, what's amazing total? About the Bills schedule is if you are someone who is like, the Bills have missed their window, they're on the downward slide, they've been past all of that. That may be true, and I don't tend to be an optimist, as you know, but that's not what the NFL schedules would tell you. Like, they're on all the time. What's interesting is that they have six primetime games.
Maxed out, right?
But that doesn't even count their England game, which is really also a national game, right? And there's no one else on at 9 in the morning. And then I think they have 1 1:00. Like, the Bills always used to play 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock here. The Bills always, in Buffalo, it's 1 o'clock. The Bills always used to be in the 1 o'clock, like, slot. No one needed to watch them. No one cared to watch them. Even Bills fans struggled to watch them. And now, even when they're not in the Monday Night Football or Thursday Night Football or whatever else thing, they are, they're in the 3 o'clock slot almost every single afternoon. They have a lot of those games.
Yeah.
And it's because they are they just are. Like, after Kansas City, after Dallas, because Dallas is Dallas, I think they are on a tier with the Eagles. You know, who else would be on that tier in terms of Bengals?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameTip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Maybe, but even, I think more so. Like, they're, it's amazing. It's hard for me to get my mind around. They are a, you know, they're a primetime property. And what you just hope is that Josh Allen, I mean, not just for my sake, but for the sake of viewers, like, when a team is on the TV that much, and then, like, what happens if Josh Allen, you know, dislocates his shoulder? And then you're just watching crap every single week.
I think they're doing this year with the NFL schedule, I think, what is it, 12 through 17, they're flexing everything? You can flex good games into those slots. I think it's Monday Night Football as well. Like, you can flex good games into those spots if they find it worthy.
Right, and that makes sense, obviously, to do more flexing. So, and then, you know, beyond that, like, it's a tough schedule. Bills have a tough schedule, but everyone in the AFC East has a tough schedule because, they play the AFC East.
Yep.
And it's interesting, if you look at, like, the Jets are a glamour team this year. I don't think they're favored by more than a field goal till, like, two-thirds of the way through the season, if you look at their schedule. Like, that Aaron Rodgers experiment, they're favored in some games. They're not favored against the Bills in the opener.
Whoa.
But they have a brutal schedule where
we'll know early if they're worth it.
If they're good or not. Yeah, if this is real. Now, obviously, the defense is real. Defense was real last year. And so we'll see. But, that's a tough way to start. Patriots are really a murderous schedule to begin with. I haven't been a schedule guy particularly. I just assume, like, we already knew who every TV teams were playing.
But I find the spectacle of it just foolish. Like, the way they've tried to do it on ESPN2, 2 hour special. I don't need 2 hours on schedules.
Yeah, I don't watch the rollout. I don't watch this. It's funny though. Like, I watch the draft all three freaking days. Like,
right.
I mean, like, I'm not averse to watching things that could be done in 5 minutes over a 3 day period. So, I didn't do that. But then once it drops, I do consume a lot of the news about the schedule. I'm just looking forward to, I mean, we are obsessed with football in this country.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to those nights and those days.
Now, do you have any thoughts on the Commander sale finally being agreed to? Dan Snyder and Tanya Snyder. I mean, the fact that the punishment is they get paid out $6.05 billion, always, it doesn't feel right. But to have them out of ownership is great.
I think that's a good thing. It's a reminder. It's funny. I was sitting at, I gave a talk at a lunch yesterday, and someone was talking to me about Robert Pera, and they said, "Don't you wish that he was more visible?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "No, I don't." Like, what right. matters as an owner is that you are not. It doesn't matter if you're visible. What matters is, do you pay the dollars? The money required. Like, right now, you look at the Raiders, and a lot of their issues are, in fact, financial. Like, they don't,
yep.
you know, they're not particularly well-funded. So you want an owner to be extraordinarily well-funded, and you want him to hire smart people. And then it really does start there. It's hard to flourish as a franchise without good ownership. Like, Michael Heisley, God rest his soul, was a guy I liked, who I could get on the cell phone and was very accessible and everything else. And he was a total loose cannon as an owner. And now he wasn't hateful in the way that Dan Snyder has been hateful. But I think all of this should make you appreciate the fact that I think the Grizzlies really right now have very good ownership. And you can see how, if you're able to, because I lived in Washington, D.C. for 4 years, 5 years after law school. And that place for a town that, like, feels like it's a lot of transients, because, you know, people are coming and going depending on whether you're Republican. It was obsessed with that.
Oh,
destroyed that market. So yes, I'm grateful that he's out.
Yeah, and I don't know. I wonder how much we're going to figure out on the back end here. Right now, that we got a Mary Jo White investigation. Oh, right. They hid the Beth Wilkinson investigation. I mean, I do. I told Connor. I think
sure.
a 30 for 30
to be uncovered.
A 30 for 30, or at least the results of what has happened behind closed doors all these years. I want to know. I really do, and I think people deserve
sunlight,
to know.
Sunlight's a good thing. Sunlight's a good thing, and so I actually think he's probably more people probably more apt and willing to bury him now that he's not in power. So maybe that will help. But he's obviously been dreadful. So, yep. It's good he's out.
Now, NBA playoffs, we had the Suns get knocked out last night. You think Monty Williams will be safe? We've heard the reports about CP3 and Ayton potentially being on the trade market right. This offseason. It feels like they need some major change because they only have two more years here of KD.
Well, that's the problem, is that he's going to be – KD will be 35 when the next season starts. How many, and he plays 45 games a year, basically,
yeah.
over the last three, something like that. So I know there were those people who wanted the Grizzlies to get him, as if it were possible, because I don't think it was possible. But it really does create a very short timetable for success for them. And so, yeah, I think they just didn't have once you got past, three or four best players, they didn't have credible NBA players. And
yep.
then obviously Ayton gets hurt and CP3 gets hurt and then you're doomed. And so they just need more good players. And it seems to me the logical piece, nobody they can try to trade Chris Paul. The logical piece is to trade DeAndre Ayton and get pieces for him.
Yeah.
But to me, the other thing that was striking was how it just reminds you that when your team loses, unless it's, unless you're Sacramento that just had this first great year,
yep.
when your team loses, you're going to be bitter, angry, resentful, blow it up, think there should be major changes. Like, that's just the nature of losing. And as all of these teams bow out, people will focus on their flaws. And it's a reminder that you might have felt grumpy about the way the Grizzly season ended, but the truth of the matter is I'd much rather be a Grizzlies fan going forward than a Suns fan going forward. I just think they're better positioned to
yep.
be good
well,
in the next few years. And I think that's they may have been the favorites for a while, the Suns, to come out of the West, but a lot of good it did them. And now they're looking at no real flexibility to get better. And a very short timetable.
I think there's some foils, too, with the other team that won last night, Nuggets, and how the Grizzlies could potentially build this thing up. It was trial and error. You have Jokic, you have MPJ, Michael Porter Jr., and you have Jamal Murray. They built around that, kept the same coach. And then, they thought for a second Monte Morris and Will Barton could get them to where they wanted to. They realized, okay, no, we're going to trade those guys for Bruce Brown and KCP. They've filled roles. But, I mean, it's been sort of up and down for the Nuggets to get where they've been, and they've been the most consistent team in the Western Conference through the regular season, now through the playoffs. It just shows, and I know people hate hearing this, but the trying to build up and trying to get to the level of success you want to be a championship level team or championship caliber team, it's not linear. You have to build through trial and error at times with those role players, but if you keep those same three guys at the top for the Grizzlies, it's Jaren, John, Bane. You feel pretty good about what you have.
I agree with that 100%. And honestly, it goes back to the Bills where we started this conversation is that, well, we started it with a dead guy in the freezer, but apart from that, with the Bills, the point is you want to be good and competitive for a long window. And maybe at some point, the stars will align. You keep building around the really good players you have. And sure, maybe this year will be frustrating, or maybe last year will be frustrating, but maybe 2 years, like this is a Denver team that I think they lost to the Lakers in the bubble, and then they lost to the Warriors last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at any point, you could have said, they're just not going to be good enough. So what do they keep doing? They just keep trying, They've dealt with injury. You're exactly right. Bringing in KCP was absolutely huge. And a lot of people didn't love that trade when it happened. But you keep tinkering with the formula. You keep taking enough shots at it, And 1 year might be the year when it comes together. And we don't know that this will be the year for Denver. Maybe right. they'll lose to Golden State or the Lakers next year. But I wouldn't pick it. I think they look. I think they are the favorites to come onto the West. And it's impressive what they've done. And I will be rooting for them.
And they kept patience too. Like that's the yeah. biggest part of this whole thing. Maybe not the fan base. Fan base.
Also
whenever you get knocked
coach.
Out.
Same thing.
Yeah.
The head coach. They could have said fire Michael Malone. Hey, you're not getting us there. You know. And they said, yeah, no, we're going to stick with this. We're just going to keep trying. And here you go.
Last thing for you, Lakers close it out tonight, or you're not picking?
God, I hope
you,
so.
Yeah, I know, me too.
God, I hope so. This is the night. It does feel like, though, like I, if they lose tonight, I do not give them much chance to win the next one. So this is the game. And I will never – I used to hate the Lakers. When I was in Boston, I had season tickets to the Celtics, so I truly hated the Lakers. And I don't think – until this last 2 weeks, I don't believe I've ever rooted for the Lakers in my entire life. And so it's been interesting, and I will stop soon. But, yeah, this is the most devout I've ever been as a Lakers fan.
Then we go straight, and if the Lakers get through, we go back to let's go Nuggets, right? I mean, it's
yes, oh, no,
we
yeah,
flip immediately.
100%.
Yes, for sure.
100%.
Well, Jeff, you have a good weekend, man. Appreciate
you
it.
You too, man. See ya. Bye.
That's Jeff Calkins, columnist at Daily Memphian, also is the host of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Now, let me tell you about my favorite place to go in town. That's Oxbow. Two-story storefront off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station. They try to hook you up, too. They have the crawfish truck right there. Again, I always tell people, make sure you eat the crawfish after you get done shopping. If you're getting some nice clothes, you don't want to get that crawfish juice all over those clothes. But Oxbow is the family-owned and operated retail store that has been making waves in East Memphis for over a decade. They have new arrivals right now. Memphis-themed gifts and tees, vintage vinyl for music lovers, sports memorabilia for the diehard fans. I mean, go in there. That sports memorabilia, if you're into collecting, is beautiful. They have cards for you. They have rookie cards that you can buy straight up of some of the best players on the Grizzlies. They have signed memorabilia. I told you guys about the Muhammad Ali signed boxing glove they have over there. They have so much for you if you're a diehard fan. And also, they have hunting and outdoor gear for the adventurous souls. They have Memphis Tigers garb, SEC favorites there as well. Make sure you get over there. So their top summer brands, Genteel Apparel. I have shorts. I have shirts. I have latched on to Genteel like you wouldn't believe. For even my big body, it fits well. It's very good. It's fantastic. And also for smaller, medium, Genteel works just as well. But they also have Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, and Main. Get over to Oxbow. Again, it is off of Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station. Whether you're searching for that perfect outfit, unique gifts, vintage vinyl, sports memorabilia, hunting and outdoor essentials, Oxbow has you covered. Go to shopoxbow.com or, again, get over off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station. Shop local. Shop Oxbow. Let's go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, there's a couple of games we have to talk about tonight. We have Lakers and Warriors at 9 p.m. And in about an hour, we'll have Heat versus Knicks. I'm going to tell you why I think the Lakers get it done on their home floor tonight to move along to play the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. You're listening to 92.9 FM ESPN.
Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This is the Friday music selection brought to you by Connor Dunning, executive producer here for the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. We're back. We're rolling. We have two games tonight in the NBA playoffs, and they're potential deciding games. We have the Heat up 3-2 at home, trying to close out the Knicks. They're 6.5-point favorites. That's going to start here in about an hour. Then we have Lakers-Warriors later at 9 p.m. First on Knicks versus Heat. Heat at home, really like my chances. I really like my chances. But I have to say, throughout this series, there's been the Heat have just played harder. They've gotten to the teeth of the defense. They had, especially in game four, they had just multiple putbacks in that fourth quarter. And I said the Knicks peed down their leg. They responded relatively well. Jalen Brunson had 38, but in game five. But is there a coach that is more on brand consistently than Tom Thibodeau? 48 minutes for Quentin Grimes and Jalen Brunson. The other 48 minutes. It didn't take them off the floor for seconds. 48-0-0 is what their box score reads as far as minutes was concerned.
It depends on what you think about Doc losing in game sixes.
Well, okay, yeah.
Does that count? Is that being on brand? Like, which one?
But
which,
Tom, one? Derek, which one is Derek more? Rose was having throwbacks in his head of just, like, the worst times ever. 48 minutes
yeah,
played.
Yeah, Fortunate Son was playing in his head, and he was seeing
yeah,
Vietnam.
Seriously. Yeah,
yeah,
he was wondering what the hell was going on. He had some PTSD moments there. But 48 minutes. I'd imagine the same thing tonight. Right?
Probably.
It was relatively successful in game five, 112-103. He'll probably do the same thing tonight, but it's on the road in the heat. Just to think about what they've accomplished, heat culture. You have Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, very confident in what they can accomplish with a lot of undrafted players. Duncan Robinson has woken back up throughout this series, and he's probably saved. I was thinking about this. Duncan Robinson, with what he's been able to do in the playoffs so far, has he saved some of his trade value? Now they could probably trade that contract in the grand scheme of things. He hasn't played a whole lot. He didn't play a lot down the stretch of the season, didn't get a whole lot of rotational minutes, but maybe, potentially, he could be of use to somebody else. But no, tonight I would predict the Heat to get over top of the Knicks. It feels like a great closeout opportunity. If you have to travel to Madison Square Garden for a Game 7, I know the Heat have some edge about them, but that's tough. That's tough. Now on the other side, Warriors-Lakers, 9 p.m., I think we're all in agreement. You want to see the Lakers get over top of the Warriors. We have some injury news, though. LeBron, we know about his ankle and his foot. That's been something you need to watch, but it looks like he's okay. But AD, after getting elbowed in the head by Kevon Looney, says he's feeling great. And he said he's not in concussion protocol. Sounds like the Lakers training staff went by the sort of thought process. You can't be in concussion protocol if we never try to put you in concussion protocol. But he says he's feeling great, AD.
We call that the Miami Dolphins.
I shouldn't be laughing because this is serious. That was a serious situation, but we'll see how AD looks tonight. But for the Warriors, this is where I'm at now. It feels like the Lakers are very, very likely to get the closeout. Andrew Wiggins, fractured cartilage in his ribcage. So he's going to be going. Kevon Looney had it a couple of years ago. Same exact injury. It's going to be really hard for him. You know, getting up and down the floor is going to be laborsome. And this is a guy in Andrew Wiggins. If you've paid attention to this series, he's really been one of their main contributors. Every single game, he's been up in double figures. He had 25-7 and 5 in game five. This is a guy they need to show up in a big way, and I don't really see it happening. But I think more so than anything, if you've been following the Lakers throughout these playoffs, they're undefeated at home. They're undefeated at home. They save a little bit of juice for once they get back into the crypt. Feels like this is the perfect closeout opportunity for the Lakers.
I hope so. I think that every single person, you know, I want the Warriors to be done. Like, can we have somebody else, please?
You want to stick the fork in them? You
please,
just want it to be.
Please, just let it be done. Just let it be done. I could not deal with, you know, if the Warriors come back from 3-1 down, I just think I'm going to have to delete Twitter forever. I need them to die. It's like you said the other night, there's some blood sacrifice that they did about 10 years ago, and we just need that to be done with.
The NBA, now, the Wiggins injury is something that is going against them, finally.
Something that
seems to be working against them going into tonight in a elimination opportunity. But this would be, I mean, it's crazy to think about this. Most people know this statistic. This would be the first loss in the Western Conference playoffs in a series for Steve Kerr ever. That's an unreasonable stat. That's unreasonable. He's 19-0 in Western Conference series. He's 19-0. When they have lost, they've gotten to the NBA Finals and then lost that way. This would be his first loss in a Western Conference series over the years.
Wow.
And the amount of consistency we've seen from them, I understand, but I feel like this is finally the year where they have moved by the wayside. The defense is not the same. The bench is not the same. Two of the main three pieces are not the same.
Well, that's why tonight, the Andrew Wiggins question, I think, you know, he's very important, I think, to the Warriors' offense, but he's more important to their defense and their defensive rotations and helping keep those perimeter players for the Lakers a little bit under wraps. And so I'm curious to see what it would look like without him out there. on the defensive end, because we know that the Warriors really struggled at the end of the season, in large part because Andrew Wiggins was away from the team dealing with the family issue that was going on. Hope everything is okay there. But, you know, he's so important to this team on the defensive side of the ball because they don't have that many perimeter defenders. Klay is not what he used to be. They have GP2, and he's a solid defender, but at the same time, you have to give up a little bit on the offensive end to have him in the game. So there's going to be some interesting things, I think, that Steve Kerr does tonight with the lineups. But hopefully, I'm hoping that AD comes out, looks healthy, is able to dominate the game in the paint. I'm curious to see what LeBron looks like, though. He did not look right after he turned his foot or whatever. He certainly hurt it again, aggravated it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still 25-9-3.
Right, I know, that's like insane.
I mean,
he's a cyborg.
He is still LeBron James. But getting in front of that home crowd, seeing what the Warriors role players will probably not be able to do, I think that's going to make the ultimate difference. And either one of these teams, I mean, let's just say either one of these teams matched up against the Nuggets the way the Nuggets are playing, I still don't know about a 7-game series win, considering the Nuggets have home court advantage. The Nuggets have been consistent. They can match up with you defensively. They've been a lot better in the playoffs. I just feel like for either of these teams with older players trying to climb that Nuggets hill in 7 games, I just don't know if it's going to be a possibility.
Yeah, you know, that's why right now I would probably have the Nuggets favored to come out of the West, and I think that the reasons are obvious. It's they're cooking right now. They are absolutely cooking right now, and they have altitude.
We talked about – and altitude. You love the thin air. We talked about last year with the Grizzlies – having the most potential, like, the reason they were so good in the regular season, the 56-win season, they had so much functional depth, right? It wasn't that they had the best players coming off the bench. You could probably give that to the Clippers. They have some of the best players on their bench, but that doesn't mean that they have the most functional depth. The Grizzlies had a lot of functional depth. That's the biggest thing the Nuggets you notice. When Jokic leaves the floor, they have enough functional depth to stay afloat. They have enough scoring as well. Aaron Gordon can fill it up at times. Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray. Bruce Brown had 25 in game 5 of that series against the Suns. KCP has his moments. I've liked Christian Brown and what he's added. They have, in my opinion, left in the Western Conference, they have the most functional depth, and that's why they have been able to continue their winning ways into the playoffs.
Right. I mean, and that's also, though, what the Lakers did at the deadline. They looked at their team and they said, we have no depth here. We have the two guys. We've got LeBron. We've got AD. How do we fix the 3-7, the 3-8 guys? And as we've seen throughout the playoffs, that 3-8 for them has been very, very good.
Yep.
It seems like that they have a next man up mentality, and that's what you want from your playoff team. You want every single night to have the potential for a role player to have a night, because you know that your guys are going to show up. LeBron and AD in big games so far this playoffs have showed. AD's been bad in like the in-between games, but in the big ones, he's been there. So you hope that you get performances from them tonight, and then an Austin Reeves game, maybe a Rui game, maybe a Malik Beasley game. Vando's had one. You got to have one of those guys step up.
I am intrigued in a massive way by a potential AD Jokic matchup in the Western Conference Finals.
I am too. Because AD got him the first time.
It would be unbelievable. Yes, he did. But the way Jokic is playing, like if you just go through 10 games, I believe, in the playoffs at this point, if you go through and just look at his statistics through these playoffs, he has been unstoppable. 32-10-12, 29-13-12, 53-4-11, 30-17-17, 39-16-5. Just because he has a triple-double one night does not mean he's not going to replicate the same thing the next night. He had a triple-double, 30-17-17, followed it up with a 53-point performance and a loss. He has been the best player in these playoffs. And Devin Booker had that for me for a while. But AD, I do think, in the end of the day, can do things to bother him where he has not been bothered before in this playoff run. AD, as much as I do get a little annoyed by some of the injuries, he falls on the floor a lot, and he's not as consistent as he should be as a future Hall of Fame player. His defensive skill set is, in my opinion, I mean, we talk about Jaren Jackson Jr., Defensive Player of the Year this year. It's nearly one of one. What he's done on the perimeter, what he did in Steph in the closing moments of game 4, he is insane as far as his skill set is concerned on that. And he can block shots. He can go out to the perimeter. He's really switchable. He can diagnose things. AD versus Jokic would be one of the more fun matchups we'll see in these playoffs.
Absolutely. It's all going to come down to the physicality of that matchup, because Jokic is going to want to get physical. He's going to put his body into AD. And can AD withstand that for an entire series? That's going to be interesting to watch, because, like I said, in the bubble, AD got him, but Jokic was, that was 3 years ago.
Yes.
Jokic has improved, which is crazy to think about. And he controls the game in a way I don't think he was ready to back then. The role players are also better, a lot better than they were back then. And they were an AD buzzer beater, that is what it took to beat that Nuggets team back then. So that's another reason I want the Warriors just to go away. It's so much more fun if it's the Lakers versus the Nuggets.
Sort of a debate here that I have. Is it better to, when you're playing Jokic, limit the points he gets at the rim, or limit him getting everybody else open and assisting? I feel like the way you stop him is trying to get into those passing lanes and make sure you cut off the cut, make sure cutters are not playing a factor. If he's not able to spread the ball around, that Nuggets offense usually struggles.
Absolutely. I mean, they lost the game. He scored 53.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
It's let Jokic cook.
But he still had 11 assists that night, right?
I know, but the point is, like, you've got to make it difficult for everybody else. If Jokic is going to get – he's going to do his thing. You're not going to be able to stop Jokic. No one has been able to. You're not going to figure it out in the playoffs magically. So disrupt the passing lanes. Disrupt the other guys as much as you can. That's what you have to do. It's essentially – What the Nuggets did to the Suns. They said,
you
try
to make him a scorer.
Right. They were like, we're not going to be able to really stop Booker and KD. Let's make sure not a single other person on this court can score. That's what you got to do sometimes in the playoffs.
But the problem you run into is Jokic, if you allow him to be dominant around the rim, he will be dominant around the rim. He'll put up 40. He'll put up 50 on you, as he has in these playoffs. So I don't know if there's a single formula to stopping what he can do. But AD and him, that matchup, I hope we get it. I'm praying for it, because I think that will be fantastic entertainment and fantastic TV. Now let's go ahead and get to a break. When we come back, we're going to hop into small talk right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is presented by the Memphis Touchdown Club. Two more speaking engagements you can get to in their speaker series over at Hilton Memphis. One will be May 15th. That will be Todd Haley, coach of the Showboats. And then May 22nd, Greg McElroy. For tickets and information, very simple, go to Memphis Touchdown Club. .com. That's memphistdclub.com. I wanted to bring this up heavier yesterday, but the CNN town hall with Trump and Caitlin Collins was a spectacle. It was presidential forum meets Jerry Springer. That's the best way I can explain it. I have to say, CNN and their response to airing all that out, a lot of trash talk on a sexual assault victim that Trump has been, he's been fined $5 million for, and just complete nonsense. I mean, there was just, if you were fact-checking it, you would have been overloaded. But seeing CNN sort of respond to it, and Anderson Cooper talk about, well, if you want the truth, you have to sometimes talk to people you may not appreciate as much. CNN, at the end of the day, that was just pure entertainment, is why they put that on there. They will be castigated and yelled at and put through the fire for this, and they should be. But then they're going to respond behind closed doors by asking each other, well, damn, look at these ratings. How cool were these ratings to have? And I have to say, poor Caitlin Collins. Going into the abyss, I mean, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, everybody was there. I mean, there was a room full of Trump supporters in New Hampshire, and she's trying to grill him on everything. It was never a good situation for Caitlin Collins to go into.
No, I think what's so disappointing about the whole situation, it's not surprising, which is one of the things that's disappointing. But otherwise, you know, it's so transparent what they were doing.
It's pure entertainment.
It was purely for the ratings. Anderson Cooper, shove that excuse somewhere, dude, because you can say that. It doesn't mean you have to broadcast it to millions of people. Like, that's such a ridiculous excuse as to why it happened.
You know, it's behind closed doors, they're lauding the ratings they got and the viewership.
I would have rather him come out and been like, all right, you all want the truth? It's ratings. We needed it for the ratings.
Of course. No question.
At least I had some respect for the truth there, but trying to act like, well, you know, to get all sides of a story. It's like there was just a trial.
Trying to find valuable news in this day and age.
It's tough.
A source. It's so tough, man. It's so tough. Like, everybody knows that. But that was a ridiculous spectacle, and that's what it was. It had nothing to do with trying to get truth. There's no truth about it. It was strictly for entertainment purposes. And Caitlin Collins, you wonder, did she volunteer to do that?
I'm not sure.
I wonder. Or do you think they just sort of forced her out there?
I don't know.
I wonder if there were people before her who denied that job and she had to, I mean, good Lord, she should get paid extra for what she had to go through. My God.
I mean, the way you described it.
It was a losing battle. You're going into a losing battle.
They may as well called it the tribute to Jerry Springer.
It was so bad.
They may have, like, it was very disappointing.
It's very disappointing, but I...
Not surprising, though.
Sometimes you have to laugh through the pain. That's what I found myself doing to a certain extent. I was angry. I was angry in the moment. But the Caitlin Collins part of this thing kind of makes me laugh. That poor woman putting herself in the line of fire like that. She needs extra money. She needs.
You remember the Mark Ruffalo, or not Mark Ruffalo, the Mark Wahlberg scene in what's the Eagles movie he's in? Invincible or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
When he's running and he just gets blindsided.
Yes. That's Caitlin Collins.
That's what it looked like.
Yes. Also of news of note today, new CEO at Twitter. Did you see this news?
Yeah, I did.
We have Linda Yaccarino. She's the executive chair of the World Economic Forum. She's also been the head of advertising for NBC Universal. And what she plans to do is bring a lot more ads to the space there on Twitter.
Great.
Yeah, great.
That's not going to make it more annoying or anything.
I mean, I don't know. I have no strong take on
here's my take
on Linda Yaccarino, but I will say here's my take on Twitter. It's been tanked. Elon has tanked it, and he's made it worse consistently. And he talked about how he wanted truth and everything to come to the surface, and people not to be muted. Yet we just continue to put out more fake entertainment news on the platform. I mean, the fact that I think it was a couple days ago he announced that Tucker Carlson is going to have his own Twitter show. It's just Elon has put it in the tubes. In a lot of ways.
Yeah. One thing I'll say to that is bring on the ads, because we were the generation that grew up with commercials. So that's why, like, YouTube's never going to break me. I don't care.
No, I can figure it out. Yeah, I can navigate
YouTube,
it.
You're never going to break me. You can keep adding 30-second ads, minute ads without being able to skip. You're not getting me.
I can navigate through Twitter.
Good luck.
With ads.
I was pre-DVR.
You had a DVR for some of your childhood, right?
Yeah, it was like, and I remember it was a big deal.
For sure.
I think I was like 11
remember
or
TiVo?
12. I did. We didn't have TiVo. We had the next.
TiVo was kind of, were they the trailblazers?
I think so. I mean, I was also young and dumb, so
I don't know. It was built in, like you're
right.
Recording and you could rewind and do everything
like
we have now.
Wasn't it like a different box, though?
Yeah, it was a different box, but it was like, it was built into your cable subscription, TiVo. They were the first to really do that, if I remember right.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. Somebody may need to fact check me.
How, like, you know how Skype dropped the ball so much about how they lost out to Zoom? It's like, TiVo, you had it. How'd you lose it? You had it. You had the people.
Yeah.
And they just got taken out. Because I guess.
Well,
because
I never used TiVo, so I can't really speak on it, but I wonder how good their actual cable subscription and everything else was.
I guess what happened was that cable services started including DVR.
Yes. Like now, Xfinity, I can rewind.
Shout out,
Xfinity. I can record. I can rewind. I can do whatever I want. On any channel. So
back in your day, baby.
Maybe some people just sort of got the same. I mean, that's what usually happens. They adopted the same thought process, but they have better packages. And it's more user-friendly. That's how it works. But, yeah, shout out, Xfinity. Shout out! Shout out, my people at Xfinity. Now, still plenty to come on the Gabe Kuhn Show. We're going to have the Blitz around 6:30. And in the Blitz, I'll get to my schedule release takeaways. We'll get to Mark Jackson and his MVP voting. There was a prominent player left off. And also some news that was missed by a lot of people yesterday. And we'll probably talk about on the other side. But Colorado DB Tyron Taylor committed to Memphis yesterday. There's two guys from the ouster there with prime at Colorado, Tyron Taylor and Austin Smith, that have committed to the University of Memphis. But coming up next, we're going to bring on Adam Rittenberg. We'll talk about prime, and we'll talk about the happenings going on in college football. That's next right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.